Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C., the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C., and this is going to be an all-new show, all-new hot topics, all-new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today, and don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
And it's day 9 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and Kid Cudi has testified. We're going to go through the transcript of that and also go through the transcript of one of Diddy's former executive assistants. The Southern District of New York is building their case, but Sean Diddy Combs' defense is not sitting quietly either. So let's get into day 9. If you missed day 8, I know some of you are not subscribed. Some of you are relying on the algorithm to continuously show you my videos. Don't do that, especially right now, because we may not show up on your Explorer page. Make sure that you're subscribed. And if my videos are still not showing up for you, just go to my page. Put Kempire in, my page will come in, will come up, and you'll be able to find me there. All right, because I'm giving you day by day. And do me a favor for those that are watching the live premiere of this or the replay of this, like the video. Why are you watching and not simply giving a like? Are you hate watching? What's the point? But okay, fine, keep watching. But like the video, it helps engagement. It helps with the channel that we're building together as a community. Shout out to our King's Guard, shout out to our channel members, and of course, shout out to our subscribers. We appreciate all of you and what you do by spreading the word of what we're doing here on the channel, because we don't just talk about Diddy here. We talk about everything in pop culture and Real Housewives. So be sure to check out the video that we posted earlier. Give you an update on what's going on with Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it's a trouble in paradise between Drew Sidora and Bravo. Be sure to check that out. And we also talked about Erica Jane's legal trouble as well. Okay. So day nine, yesterday we thought that Kid Cudi was going to testify. We found out early in the day that he was not going to testify. Word on the street seemed like there may have been some sort of scheduling conflict between Kid Cudi and prosecution. But today he did show up and he did testify. He did share some more details about his very short, brief relationship with Cassie and the possibility that Diddy may have entered his home and also destroyed his car. Okay. So we're going to talk about that, but with that particular testimony, I really want to kind of go chapter and verse versus giving you a summary. We will be doing a summary of today's events from our friends over at NBC News, because I know a lot of you are relying on me just to summarize the day. Some of you, like me, do not have the time to sit and watch this trial every single day. I understand. That's why we've been doing the summary. And don't forget, you can hear the summary on the Kempire podcast as well. All right, just a little summary from yesterday. They say that the 9th day of testimony in Sean Combs' federal trial is set to begin this morning. George Kaplan, the rapper's one-time assistant, will continue to be questioned. Kaplan on Wednesday delivered an insider's view of Combs' frantic celebrity life. According to Kaplan, Combs was a difficult boss who made exacting demands and regularly threatened to fire him. Some of you might say, well, that's not a big deal. Okay. Grammy Award-winning rapper Kid Cudi will be the biggest name yet to take the stand, the witness stand in Combs' trial. The 41-year-old's name has been mentioned several times in testimony, as Kid Cudi's ties to Combs' former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, allegedly sent the defendant into violent tantrums. Kid Cudi, whose real name is Scott Mascuti, is set to testify once Kaplan is finished. After Cudi finishes his testimony, makeup artist Myla Morales, former Combs Enterprise CFO Tony Abrams, and John Croft are next on the witness list to take the stand. We also revealed to you that the prosecution is unsealing the witnesses little by little. They're not letting us know who will be testifying in total when it comes to this case. Here's the thing, though. Based off of Kaplan's testimony and his interactions with Christina Curram, KK, Diddy's right-hand woman, Diddy's chief of staff, I am almost 100% confident that Christina Kerim will be testifying, and that will be interesting. It will be interesting to see if she's testifying on behalf of the prosecution or the defense. I'm thinking the prosecution, because based off of what people have said about her, she's implicated. Based off, and this is just based off a layman looking at the situation, lawyers, feel free to chime in. She's implicated multiple times, not just in civil lawsuits, but this federal situation. She's implicated. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Southern District of New York came down on her and said, well, you could face all of these charges, but we will give you something in order for you to testify on our behalf, because she would be a huge witness. When we talk about Cassie Ventura being a star witness, no. Let's talk about Christina Kerim, the chief of staff. She would be a star witness, or at least one of the star witnesses, because she literally would have seen all of these things. And technically, she would have assisted with a lot of allegedly illegal behavior. As you know, I've been watching this case throughout the day. I'm not reporting throughout the day, but I'm watching the case throughout the day. I'm taking notes. And I saw what Kaplan had to say, and he mentioned Christina Kerim. I said, there's no way Christina Kerim is not going to testify in this case. Either it's on the defense side or it's on the prosecution side. But I have a feeling it'll be on the prosecution side, because she probably would be arrested right now. Just saying. A recap of yesterday, NBC reminds us a federal agent, a former executive assistant, and a clinical and forensic psychologist testified at the trial yesterday. Gerard Gannon, a federal special agent who planned the search of Combs' Miami home last year, walked jurors through photos of items seized at the property. Among those items were cell phones, probably burner phones. That's what they looked like. I don't know what a burner phone looks like, but it just looked like, why do you have three cell phones in a shoe? Okay, I mean, that's not, I don't keep my cell phone in a shoe, do you? Or my business phone. I have two phones. They're not kept in a shoe. They're out in the open. Okay. Among the items were cell phones stuffed inside a designer's shoe, a designer bag filled with drugs, including ketamine, MDMA, dozens of bottles of lubricant, and a pow in a red suitcase. Dawn Hughes, a clinical and forensic psychologist, testified about the impact of abuse trauma. She told jurors that victims of domestic violence often stay with their abusers and sometimes delay disclosing what they have experienced. The prosecution called Hughes to attempt to rebut the defense suggestion that Ventura and other women could have left Combs. So not just that, it's important to note what they were doing, Diddy's defense team, what they were trying to do was saying, you never treated Sean Diddy Combs. You never treated Cassie Ventura. So how could you speak to this situation? How could they have to take away from her credibility? But if we know anything, someone that has studied abuse, there are huge common patterns in abuse relationships. And look, and this stems years and years and years of research. And she has testified in multiple trials on things that the jury needs to know and understand, because we have to remember the layman is not going to understand patterns of abuse until they are part of this case. And that's the whole point of why the prosecution brought Dr. Hughes in, to explain that to the jury. And according to those that were inside the court, they said she really spoke to the jury as opposed to speaking to the rest of the court. She really spoke to the jury so that they could understand. But I also understand that the defense has to discredit her, or the telling the jury, don't listen to her. She's never treated Combs. She never treated Cassie. She's just giving you a blanket statement. And what? And again, in all fairness, we talked about this too. When we talk about trauma, everyone deals with trauma very differently. So that's the defense's tactic here, is to say she's never treated them. Everyone reacts in different ways. I'm trying to be fair when I cover this case with you guys, to let you know the defense is not necessarily not doing what they're supposed to do. And I wonder if it's working with the jury. But I, based off of those that were inside that I've seen their commentary on, they're saying that I don't know if it landed with the jury when it comes to what the defense was trying to do yesterday. But again, that's their perspective. We don't know if it's landed with the jury. And yesterday is an important episode for those that may have missed it, because we had a few different perspectives that we cited in from both from Law and Crime, but also from Fox 5 News, where a defense attorney in New York City, a very popular New York City defense attorney, gives his perspective on how this case is playing out and what he thinks the defense is doing and what the prosecution is doing. Be sure to check that out, because I felt like his commentary will educate a lot of us. For those that are looking to understand what's happening in this Sean Diddy Combs trial, be sure to check out every episode of these recaps that we're doing. So they continue. It says, Dr. Hughes, a clinical and forensic psychologist, testified to the impact of abuse trauma. All right. She told jurors and the victim told juror, she told jurors that victims of DV often stay with their abusers and sometimes delay disclosing what they have experienced. The prosecution called Hughes to attempt to rebut the defense's suggestion that Ventura and other women could have left Combs. George Kaplan, a former assistant to Combs, who was granted immunity to testify literally that day. They granted him immunity. And I understand why, because he admitted to doing some illegal things on behalf of Sean Diddy Combs. He told jurors that the music mogul, quote, threatened his job monthly. He told jurors how he bought supplies, in quotes, for Combs' hotel room, including candles, baby oil, and lubricant. Lord. All right, so they explain who Kid Cudi is. We did that yesterday. If you missed that yesterday, we talk about who Kid Cudi is. We're not going to revisit that. So George Kaplan returns to the stand. A former personal assistant working for Combs has returned to the witness stand to continue his testimony. Prosecutor Maureen Comey will be questioning him. All right, so before we actually go through the summary, I kind of want to go through the back and forth between Kaplan and the attorneys involved in this case, both the defense and prosecution. And again, shout out to our friends over at Inner City Press that are in the room and giving us a synopsis. I don't want to call it a transcript because it's not a transcript. There are errors. There are paraphrasing that he's utilizing. Okay. So Inner City Press, a little bit of the conversation that they have. The judge says at the top of this, I didn't hear government objecting to Mr. Kaplan testifying about Ms. Ventura asking for drugs in Boston. That's one of the things that he notes. The judge says, let's get Mr. Kaplan back on the stand. When did you carry cash for Mr. Combs? George Kaplan says $50,000 on his private jet. AUSA says, did you pick up cash for Mr. Combs? Kaplan says $10,000 at Western Union from Combs Enterprises. We have to pay attention to what's being said here. Money, the use of money for certain things, the intermingling of his money when it comes to his freak-offs and the abuse. These are important to note, and that's why I'm reading these. AUSA says, what long-term relationships of Mr. Combs were you aware of? George Kaplan says, Cassie, Kim Porter, and Gina. Some people are saying that Gina is one of the victims that will be testifying, but she might be missing or hasn't shown up. AUSA says, who was Kim? Mother of his children. Cassie, girlfriend. AUSA says, Gina, another girlfriend. And again, defense will say, we're not saying that Sean Combs is innocent. He had multiple women. He was cheated. He was a cheater. He was a philanderer. He was an abuser, a drug abuser, a womanizer. But again, that's their job. They have to say that doesn't align with the charges that the feds have brought against him. AUSA says, the jet flight to Las Vegas. What was the layout of the jet? Four chairs, a partition. I had a partial view over my right shoulder. AUSA says, when you witnessed violence by Mr. Combs on Ms. Ventura, why didn't you intervene? He says, my career. AUSA says, after the last glass breaking, what did Mr. Combs do? Kaplan says he came forward. Cassie stayed in the back. He asked me to get creams to conceal the bruising on her face. AUSA says, how did you pay for it? Corporate credit card. Another important thing to note. The intermingling of the abuse with Cassie, his girlfriend, but also an employee because she was signed to Bad Boy. Corporate credit card. AOS says, why did you leave Combs Enterprises? Kaplan says, I didn't think that I should be covering things up, like buying the witch hazel. Also, my father had prostate cancer. AUSA says, any violence? Kaplan says he threw things at Gina, the other girlfriend, in the entryway of the main home on Star Island. What was he throwing? Kaplan says, green apples. How hard? AUSA says. Very hard. Later, I took the medicine bag into their room. Mr. Combs wanted me to leave quickly. Then what? I heard Gina at the gate and male voices. Who? Security. When you left, what did you do? I collected myself, then went to work for an integrated marketing firm. Okay. Cross-examination. Combs' attorney says, why did you go to work for Combs Enterprises? Kaplan says, he was an incredible entrepreneur. I have learned from him. Agnifilo says, what did Brian do as COO? Kaplan says, ensuring profitability of each unit. Kaplan says, I was an employee when Revolt TV launched. Agnifilo says, tell me about it. We were on the sixth floor of 1710 Broadway. Everyone was there. It was momentous. Diversity was important to Mr. Combs, Agnifilo says to him. Kaplan says, specifically for African Americans. Combs' attorney says, what did Blue Flame do? Marketing for Ciroc. Agnifilo says, what is Diageo? They own Johnny Walker and others. Mr. Combs set up a marketing entity for Ciroc. Combs' attorney says, your job, what was it? Kaplan says, for example, Mr. Combs would say, we are going to leave the house. He meant 3 to 5 minutes. I had a checklist for the bags and the toiletries. It was a bad look in me if something wasn't in there. Combs' attorney says, is there a binder near you? I can't read that. Kaplan says, it says Southern District. Agnifilo says, I'm handing you something to refresh your recollection. Take a look at it as long as you want. Combs' attorney says, you ran an off-site training, a graduate from Harvard Business School, also Kenny Burns. Kaplan says, I remember. You were effective, right? I worked hard, Kaplan responds. Agnifilo says, I don't know how you'll answer. Was it good or bad? He says, complicated. Agnifilo then asks him, he didn't need to yell at you when you brought two waters. Kaplan says, I worked hard. Okay, who was Biggie? Kaplan says, a huge rapper who unfortunately passed away. Agnifilo says, wasn't Biggie's birthday a holiday at Combs Enterprise? Yes. It was just Biggie's birthday. Wasn't it yesterday, Biggie's birthday? Eesh. It's just kind of the timing of that. It's interesting. And in fact, they're talking about it. Combs' attorney says, was it a creative environment? Kaplan says, absolutely. It attracted all kinds of creative people, lawyers, musicians, advertising people. Agnifilo says, a few specific questions. You use the corporate credit card. Kaplan says, yes. How did Mr. Combs pay? Kaplan says, KK held his wallet with a black Amex in it. KK is Christina Curran, his chief of staff. You have no reason to think he kept track of how baby oil was paid for. Kaplan says, no reason. Damn, baby oil. Or applesauce. We haven't even talked about the applesauce being brought up. Kaplan says, he loves applesauce. Oh, okay. I mean, look, some people love, they love their things. Okay. Combs' attorney says, on cheeseburgers? Smiles. On everything. On everything? The live chat. Those of you in the replay, y'all like applesauce on different things? I've never put applesauce on anything besides applesauce. Okay. Agnifilo says, let's talk about the plane. You heard glass breaking. You didn't see it. Kaplan says, I didn't see it. Agnifilo says, the incident with Gina. You walk into the house. There's a thin table. I don't know. Agnifilo says, you don't remember how a person could get out of a gate at Two Star Island? No, Kaplan says. I just heard screaming and commotion. Agnifilo says, screams of terror or of how can I open this gate? Oh, this is what they have to do, y'all. I know you are all saying, like, what is he saying? But he's got to be clear. Kaplan says, I don't know how to distinguish between the two. I would. Screams of like, this is open this gate, and screams of like, oh my God. Like. But it's better to say that you don't know how to distinguish the two as opposed to being too definitive, I guess. Combs' attorney says he threatened your job, but did he physically threaten you? Kaplan says no. Agnifilo says, you talked about Kim Porter, how she was different. Kaplan says his respect for her. Remember I said this yesterday, I felt like Cassie was probably the only one of his girlfriends, or at least the ones that we knew of, that was involved in the freak-offs. He says that you talked about Kim Porter, how she was different. Calvin says his respect for her. They had incredible kids. Agnifilo says, thank you. Combs, the attorney, then says, when you set up hotel rooms for Mr. Combs and Miss Porter, there was no baby oil, right? Calvin says, lotions. Agnifilo says, you expressed caution about hotels. Why you cleaned the room afterward? Calvin says, hotel staff could sell photos. Everyone wants a payday. So he had them involved. Again, this is important to note. He had his staff, the enterprise, not just Combs' literal enterprise. This is what the prosecution is trying to build. The enterprise cleaning these rooms of his freak-offs, allegedly. He says hotel staff could sell photos. Everyone wants a payday. Combs' attorney says, you sent him a photo of him and Kim Porter. Kaplan says, after she died, I was heartbroken for him. Agnifilo says, you were close. Kaplan says, I invited him to my wedding. I didn't hear back. Agnifilo says, objection. I don't know if this is correct. Again, this is why I say this is not a transcript, because it says Agnifilo says objection. I guess objection to his response. Surprise it looks. Yeah, because I'm surprised too. I'm like, you asked the question. He responded. Now he's saying objection. Agnifilo says, you respected him? He says, yes. Combs' attorney then says, what's this photo of? Kaplan says, me, KK, Christina Curran, and Mr. Combs at Teterboro Airport. He just got the jet. That's why there's champagne. Agnifilo says, you are happy there, right? Kaplan says, no, refresh it. It's that I was glad that I had found the mascara in the back seat. Huh? Diddy's attorney then says, they found you and subpoenaed you. Kaplan says, I had to retain counsel right away. Agnifilo says, no further questions. Judge says, redirect. AUSA says, which incidents shook you? Kaplan says, the plane with Cassie and the apples with Gina. Because remember, he's saying that he witnessed Cassie being hit by Diddy on the plane and then the apple situation with Gina on Star Island. Kaplan says, I felt guilty I didn't do anything after the incident with Cassie on the plane. AUSA says, but you didn't see any injuries. Kaplan says, people can be injured without injuries being visible. This is true. I mean, yeah. The tonality and tension with the apples he threw at Gina, it was troubling. AUSA says, you told Miss Curran about both incidents. This was important. Kaplan says, yes. And I told her I'm unwilling to stand behind the behavior that I was quitting. AUSA says, did Christina say that she would quit? He says, no. AUSA says that, how long did she stay after you told her? He says, until recently. Because remember, recently we did a video. Go Google Schmoogle it. We did a video on her revealing that she no longer works for Diddy. Next witness, AUSA, we call Scott Mascuti, Kid Cudi. So this is one of the rare days where we're reading the actual what's going on in the courtroom. I will go back to summarizing, but these were particular people that I wanted to highlight in today's day 9 of the Diddy trial video, because there were details of, I know a lot of people are confused. Have they proved their case? Is this just DV? That's not what he's being charged for. No. Some legal experts have already said, if you pay attention, again, we're layman's here, but if you pay attention, they have already brought up multiple things that would lead to these charges. Okay. And again, we are going to bring some legal minds on here to explain further, especially now that we're getting deeper. We're going into the third week next week of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. So next witness, we call Scott Mascuti, the AUSA says. Kid Cudi takes the witness stand in a leather jacket, white shirt, and blue jeans. AUSA Johnson says, What did you do for work? Mascuti says, I'm an actor and a musician known as Kid Cudi. AUSA says, who's this? And he shows a photo. It's Cassie, he says. Scott says, I'm going to switch between calling him Scott Mascuti and Kid Cudi. We dated in 2011. AUSA says, who else was she involved with? He responds, Sean Combs. AUSA says, what did you know about their status? Mascuti says that she and Sean Combs had some problems and they weren't dating anymore. AUSA then says, in December of 2011, did law enforcement respond to your home? Mascuti says, yes, I had a break-in. Cassie called me at 5:30 or 6 a.m. She said that Sean Combs had found out about us. She asked me to pick her up, so I did. Yeah. AUSA says, why? Mascuti says, she was worried. AUSA then says, what was her demeanor? Ms. Goody says, very stressed and worried. AUSA says, where did you go? Ms. Goody says, the Sunset Marquee. Why? AUSA says, I thought it was safe, off the radar. AUSA then says, who else did you speak with? Kid Cudi says, Capricorn Clark. She sounded near tears. What did she say? Ms. Goody says, that Sean Combs is in the car near my house. Combs' attorney then says, Brian Steele says, objection. Judge overruled. AUSA says, you called Sean Combs? I did. He said, I'm over here waiting for you. AUSA then says, when you arrived, what did the outside look like? Ms. Goody says, pretty normal. AUSA, any security camera? Yes, but I found out they weren't working. Okay, hold on. Hold on now. Because I'm reading this as I'm walking, coming back from an errand. Ms. Goody says, but the security cameras have been removed. AUSA says, did you move them? Ms. Goody says, no. AUSA says, what do you see inside your home? Ms. Goody says, gifts were open, some stuff I got from Chanel, and my dog was locked in the bathroom. AUSA then says, how did you usually leave your dog? Kid Cudi says, I let him roam. How long had you had your dog? 3 years, he responds. What changes in behavior of your dog after the break-in? Ms. Goody says, jittery, on edge all the time. What did they do to the dog? Ms. Goody says, I got back in and called Sean Combs again. I was looking for him. I wanted to fight him, you know. AUSA says, did he answer? Kid Cudi says, yeah, he said, I'm on my way. I thought to myself, Diddy's attorney says, objection. Judge says, grounds? Steele says, non-responsive, overruled. I love this playing. This is like acting right now. I wish I had someone else in here so we could act out the role. Judge then says, ask a new question. AUSA says, when you saw Cassie, how did she seem? Ms. Goody says, depressed. Did you see Cassie in Connecticut? He says, yes, she needed it. Did Mr. Combs call you? Ms. Goody says, yes, he hit me a few times. See, this is where urban vernacular in the court does not land well. AUSA's hit? Question mark. Ms. Goody says, called me. It's slang, okay? AUSA says, what did you say? Ms. Goody says, that I didn't want to talk with him. He broke into my house, hurt my dog. Did you and Ms. Ventura break up? Ms. Goody says, yes. What about your car? My dog's babysitter called me and told me my car was on fire. Where were you? At a relative with my ex-girlfriend, Ms. Goody responds. Where did you go? To my house. And he gives the house's address. Let me show you 6 pictures. Do you recognize? Ms. Goody says, my Porsche. He then says, that's the damage to my Porsche from the Molotov cocktail. AUSA says, who took these photos? Ms. Goody says, Chip, a good friend and collaborator. AUSA says, what's depicted here? Ms. Goody responds and says, the hole they cut in the roof of my car to put in the Molotov cocktail. What was your reaction to your car being set on fire? He says, what the F? Objection, judge overruled. So they take a little bit of a break. All right, let's fast forward. Before the jurors are back, the judge says, will you finish the witnesses of today? AUSA says, yes, though the cross of Mr. Kaplan was 3 times longer than we thought. Just entering, a jury's entering. AUSA says, was the damage on your car present before the call from the dog sitter? No, Ms. Goody says. AUSA says, do you think it was accidental or intentional? Ms. Goody says, intentional. AUSA says, where did you last see Ms. Ventura? Ms. Goody says, at the Soho House. I reached out to Sean Combs and said, let's talk. This is getting out of hand. Combs' attorney says, can we have a sidebar? Judge says, do you have an objection?
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Steele says yes. Judge says sustain, disregard, and move on. Who set up the meeting at Soho House? Mascuti says D-Rock and my manager. I'm wondering if D-Rock is going to testify. His name has been mentioned multiple times. AUSA then says, what was Combs doing? Mascuti says, standing there like a Marvel supervillain.
That is funny.
Some laughter. Because when you look at some of the pictures of Diddy, oh my gosh, it definitely gives supervillain. He said he was standing there like a Marvel supervillain. Mascuti says, he said, we were homies. You know that is my girl. AUSA says, what did you say? Kid Cudi says, I thought you had broken up. Then Sean Combs offered me water twice. This stood out to me. Sean Combs offered me water twice. What was in that water? Because he's been accused of some damning things, y'all. So I'm happy that Kid Cudi did not. Kid Cudi was walking into the trial today smoking a cigarette. And I told you he's been very open about his mental health. And I'm thinking the cigarette smoking is because of nerves and things like, of course, addiction. But I was like, oh, damn, I feel for him. Especially because I think he thought he put all of this behind him back then. This is like 14 years ago. All right? No, a little bit less than that. All right. So he says that Sean Combs, he said, I thought you had broken up. Then Sean Combs offered me water twice. Mascuti says, it was weird. Sean Combs being so calm. The AUSA says, what did Cassie say? Mascuti says, that we have fallen in love. Things happened. Okay. AUSA says, what did you say to Mr. Combs? Mascuti says, what about my car? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I walked away. AUSA then says, did you see Combs later? Mascuti says, a few years later, also at Soho House. He said, I'm just sorry for all that BS. I was surprised, so I found peace with it. AUSA says, no further questions at this time. Judge says, Mr. Steele. Combs' attorney says, I want to ask you some questions about your Porsche in 2022. Mascuti says, 2012. Steele says, I apologize. You get a call about damage to your vehicle. Any surveillance photos? Mascuti says, no, my dog sitter did send me pictures of the damage. Combs' attorney then says, the DNA taken, this is interesting, y'all. This is why I'm reading the transcript, or for lack of a better word, transcript. Shout out to Inner City Press again. Steele says, the DNA taken, are you aware it came back being a female? Are we supposed to believe that Sean Diddy Combs does his own dirty work? Was it Christina Curram? I'm just asking. If it's her DNA, oh my gosh. AUSA says, objection, no foundation, justice sustained. Steele says, do you know that there were DNA results? Judge says, I'll allow that. Mascuti says, no. He didn't even know that. Combs, I mean, I have to give this to the defense. They're doing their homework. I mean, that's their job, but whoa, we never knew that. Combs' attorney says, Ms. Ventura told you it was over. Mascuti says, we just stopped talking. Steele says, you told this honorable court and this jury that she played you. Mascuti says, yes. Steele says, she played you and you had no clue? Mascuti says, no clue. But did she play him? But maybe at the time, that's the way he felt, that she felt played by her. And maybe even to this day, he felt played by her. But remember Cassie's testimony where she said he was having his own relationship. He had like 5 other girlfriends. She also felt like she was just an S worker for him. She didn't feel like this was a relationship. Hence why she ended up having these other relationships. Although she may have labeled it cheating, he was cheating on her. But again, this goes back to defense. This is not what you're accusing him of. This is not S trafficking. This is not racketeering. This is a domestic abuse situation. This was a cheating situation, a toxic relationship. I'm just painting the picture for you of what they're trying to do here. He says, no clue. Combs' attorney says, in 2011, you went on tour. He says, yes. 65 locations.
I want to say relevance, but anyway.
You're setting us up, okay? Mascuti says, yeah.
How do you even remember that? But okay.
Steele says, at the time, Sean Combs was an icon. Fair to say? Mascuti says, yes. Steele says, you and Ms. Ventura had a sexual relationship. AUSA, objection.
Sidebar. They take a sidebar.
After the sidebar, Mascuti says, Mr. Steele, can I? Judge says, no, you can do that on redirect. Steele says, do you want to tell me something? Mascuti says, Sean Combs asked about me doing a song with Ms. Ventura in 2010. Steele says, thank you. Combs' attorney then says, you believe they left your front door unlocked? Mascuti says, yes. Steele says, no forced entry. Mascuti says, no. Steele says, just presence open, door in the bathroom. I'm not belittling, just asking. You called Sean Combs. Mascuti says, yeah. Steele says, he was calm? He says, yes. What they're saying is that if there was no forced entry, there was nothing really stolen. For me, again, let me play devil's advocate here. There was some sort of break-in, but nothing was stolen. Yes, your car was destroyed, but there was nothing stolen in this break-in portion of the story. It could have been anyone. The door was unopened. It could have been anyone. We can't say that was definitely Mr. Combs. Okay, defense, I see y'all. I see what you're doing. But it was him. I believe it was him. Come on. Look. Mm-mm. Who else believes it was him? I believe it was him. And honestly, the reason why I believe it was him, I feel like the fact that this is a pattern with Sean Diddy Combs. He wants to make his presence known, his power known. Like, I got into your house. I locked up your dog. Now your dog's affected. You saw what I did to your dog? I could do that to you. Damn. People are weird. Diddy's attorney says, you went to see him. You didn't think he had a GUN. Mascuti says, I couldn't call it. Steele says, you are a strong person. That's how you categorize yourself? Mascuti says, yeah, this crossed the line. Steele says, Ms. Ventura told you she was abused? Mascuti says, yes. Diddy's attorney then says, but she never said that she was sexually abused. True? Mascuti says, she did not. To prove that the freak-offs were not forced. But, okay, let me play devil's advocate. That may not have been forced, but if you were physically abused, that could coerce you to doing what this person wants. Just saying, but you see what they're trying to do. Defense, I see you. This is why they don't want me on a jury, because they wouldn't be able to convince me. I'd be like, I see what you're doing here, defense. But then, oh, wait, did it work? I probably would have been a good juror. I'm glad I wasn't, though. And again, they wouldn't have selected me. Between all these videos that we've been covering since the lawsuit, they would have been like, sir, next. Steele says, but she never said that she was SA'd. True? She did not, Kid Cudi says. You loved her. Tell me if I'm wrong. Mascuti says, I did. Oh, you loved her? How long were they dating? I thought it was like a month. But I guess you know when you know, right? Steele says, you got played by the same person who played Mr. Combs, Cassie Ventura. Here's the thing. I would have said objection. Okay. But anyway, that's me. Combs' attorney says, in the 13 years since, have you ever been notified in California that there have been any more action on this car fire? Mascuti says, no. Did Ms. Ventura have multiple phones? Mascuti says, I don't remember. Steele says, 35 to 12? If I said it, I said it. I don't understand what that was supposed to be, but fine. Combs' attorney says, do you know what a burner phone is? Scooty says, untraceable. Steele says, the trespass. You called it a break-in. Ms. Ventura told you she'd given your home address to Mr. Combs. Mascuti says, yes, in the morning. Steele says, no more questions. Thanks. Mascuti says, no problem. Judge says, redirect. The AUSA says, what did Ms. Ventura confide in you about abuse? Mascuti says that he would hit her, sometimes kick her. AUSA then says, the day of the break-in, was she carefree? Mascuti says, no. What did Capricorn Clark tell you? AUSA says. Mascuti says, Sean Combs and an affiliate forced her into a car to come to my house. I called the police. AUSA says, how would you describe Cassie that day? Mascuti says, just really shook. him finding out about us. AUSA says, why did your relationship with Ms. Ventura end? Ms. Scooty says, the drama, it was getting out of hand. I wanted to give space. AUSA says, what drama? Ms. Scooty says, the break-in for my safety, her safety. Combs' attorney says, objection. Judge says, grounds. Speculation, overruled. All right. So AUSA says, why did you have safety concerns? Ms. Scooty says, because I knew Sean Combs was violent. Combs' attorney, Your Honor, may we approach sidebar? Literally, they're taking a sidebar. Okay. I know I say sidebar all the time, but no, they're taking a sidebar. The AUSA says, the meeting at Soho House. Mr. Combs said, I don't know what you're talking about your car. Did you believe him? Diddy's attorney says, objection. Judge says, rephrase. AUSA says, what was your understanding? That he was lying? Ms. Scooty says. AUSA says, no further questions. Judge says, any recross? Combs' attorney says, no, Your Honor. Judge, to Mr. Miscuti, you're done. Miscuti, Kid Cudi, says, all right. And he went about his business. So I'm going to summarize some of what we just said, just in case it fills any of the holes and confusion that we were just talking about. And this is from our friends over at NBC News in regards to Kid Cudi's testimony. Earlier this morning, before the jury was seated, the attorneys had some humorous debate over whether Kid Cudi could testify about his dog's behavioral changes after a 2011 break-in at his home. Defense attorney Brian Steele told Judge Aaron Subramanian that the government wanted Kid Cudi to testify that his dog was traumatized after being put behind a closed door in December of 2011. Prosecutors Emily Johnson argued that the observations about the dog are relevant to the break-in. He's not going to testify to what the dog thought, Subramanian said, eliciting laughter from those in the courtroom. Kid Cudi can testify about the dog the judge decided, but only in broad terms, as Johnson noted that the dog is no longer with us. Oh, sorry. I mean, this was a long time ago. The dog would have been pretty old. So Kid Cudi briefly met Cassie at an event in 2008, but they didn't start to date until 2011, he testified. According to him, Cassie was having problems with Combs at the time, and to his knowledge, the couple were not dating when Cassie and Kid Cudi got together. Kid Cudi testified that he got a call from Cassie in December of 2011 saying that Combs had found out about the couple and that she asked him to pick her up. She was nervous and told Kid Cudi that Combs was abusive. Once Cassie was with him, Kid Cudi told the court he took her to the Sunset Marquee to keep her safe and away from Combs, which we noted. At one point, he said that he received a call letting him know that Combs and an associate were at Kid Cudi's home. Cudi said that the call was made by Combs' employee at the time, Capricorn Clark. You've heard the name Capricorn Clark for years as his assistant. I wonder if she's going to testify. I think so. And Cassie was with her on speakerphone. Kid Cudi recalled how angry he was when Combs allegedly broke into his home in the Hollywood Hills. The rapper says that Combs was remarkably calm when he called to confront him. He said, what's up? And I said, mother effer, are you in my house? He said, I'm here waiting for you, Kid Cudi testified. He told the court that he wanted to fight Combs, but reminded himself that he didn't know who Combs might have with him. Lord, he probably definitely had people with him. All right. Then Kid Cudi's car caught on fire in his driveway one day in 2012, while Cudi said that he was about 45 minutes away from home. The rapper testified that his dog sitter called to tell him what was happening and he rushed home. A friend sent him photos that show the top of the porch open where a Molotov cocktail was thrown in, Kid Cudi said. Prosecutors showed photos of the car in court and had Kid Cudi describe them. Cassie testified that the Combs had threatened her and Kid Cudi, saying that Combs wanted to set fire to Kid Cudi's car in the man's driveway. She also told the court that Combs assured her it would not be by his hand and he would not be in the country when it happened. And remember, the DNA said that it was a woman. Combs appeared to be calmly taking in Kid Cudi's testimony without showing much emotion. At times, he sat back in his chair at the defense table with his arms and legs crossed as Cudi described wild confrontations with the defendant. Combs wore a cream-colored top and khaki pants to court today. Kid Cudi doesn't appear to be nervous or stressed at all on the witness stand, answering questions with a very matter-of-fact tone. Well, I'm happy to hear that. The rapper seemed comfortable and in speaking in conversational manner as he relates his past interactions with Combs. There was a hot moment in court when Cudi was asked why he requested to meet with Combs after his car was set on fire. The rapper responded that he reached out because he knew Combs was involved with the fire. Combs' defense objected to Cudi's speculation, and his answer was struck from the record. So technically, the jury has to disregard that. But they've heard it. The judge denied a request for attorneys to a sidebar, and the prosecution continued to question Cudi. Kid Cudi recalled thinking Combs was like a comic book bad guy, a Marvel supervillain. This is why I wanted to read the transcript with you guys. Shortly after the witness car had been torched in an attack he blamed on the defendant. The pair agreed to see each other at a Los Angeles hotel meeting room, and Combs was already there by the time that Kid Cudi arrived, the witness said. Combs was calmly looking out the window with hands behind his back, looking like a Marvel supervillain, Kid Cudi said. Lord have mercy. And that's probably what he's thinking in his head. That's why when he dressed up as those different things during Halloween and for the Met Gala, it was definitely giving that. Combs' calmness during their meeting after the car fire was off-putting, Kid Cudi told the court. At the end of the meetings, he said he shook hands with Combs and asked Combs what they were going to do about his car. Combs told Kid Cudi he didn't have any idea what he was talking about, the rapper testified. Combs then asked if they were cool, Kid Cudi told the court. But Cudi responded that Combs burned his car. After a few years after the meeting, Cudi testified, Combs gave him a general apology for the past. He knows what he was doing. Diddy is not dumb. Did he get sloppy? Yes. But he knew what he was doing. He was never going to admit that he had any involvement in that, past, present, or future. It was the last thing he expected to hear from Combs, Kid Cudi said. But it could have been just about the situation with Cassie. That's a generalization. The U.S. District Judge Aaron Subramanian appeared to shut down defense efforts to get into deeply private details of Ventura and Kid Cudi's relationship. When Combs' attorney Brian Steele on cross-examination asked Kid Cudi if he and Ventura ever had consensual sexual relations, the government objected and both sides met the judge for a sidebar away from jurors' ears. When the meeting broke, Steele went on to another question. Kid Cudi agreed. I'm assuming that they were, but that's me assuming. Defense attorney Brian Steele asked Kid Cudi about the meeting he had with Combs, characterizing it as about a relationship where both men were, quote, played. Cudi agreed with Steele and responded true when Steele asked if the person who played both of them was Cassie. Steele also asked Kid Cudi if Cassie was living two different lives, to which the rapper responded that she was. Cassie was worried that Combs would go to Kid Cudi's home and appear to be shaken about Combs' discovery of her relationship with Kid Cudi, the rapper testified. So that situation with the car and what Diddy allegedly did to that car was not only a threat to Kid Cudi, that was a threat to Cassie. See what I can do and get away with? If I was to believe that he was involved. Cassie was worried that Combs would go to Kid Cudi's home. Prosecutor Emily Johnson took over Kid Cudi's questioning after the defense, asking what Cassie told him about Combs' abuse. Kid Cudi told the court that Cassie informed him that Combs would hit and sometimes kick her. So nobody really tried to help Cassie get out of this situation. Like, all these people knew. And I get it. A lot of times when people are in these cycles of abuse, it's really up to them to make the decision, because oftentimes when you do offer them help, that they end up back with that person. Kid Cudi said that he and Cassie needed to stop seeing each other due to the blowback of events that seemed to unfold. The drama was too out of hand, and to give her some space, the witness said, of them pumping the brakes on any possible relationship. Then you can see that the judge instructed for a lunch break, et cetera, et cetera. The judge and the government were livid over the sexual questions. Away from the ears of jurors, the judge chastised the defense for asking Kid Cudi about any sex that he might have had with Cassie Ventura. And based off of what we reported yesterday or the day before, the judge really does not want this case to turn into a gossipy thing. He wants it all based on the facts of the situation. He does not want this to be, it's already a spectacle outside the court and on these news outlets and blogs. He does not want that in the court. Assistant U.S. Attorney Maureen Comey called the defense lawyer Brian Steele's line of questioning outrageous and said, "We were shocked that the defense spoke about sexual activity with this witness." The judge agreed and said, "The line was clear and crossed. Mr. Steele, you knew the rule and you did it anyway," the judge said.
Is it going to happen again? No, Steele replied. Because he could hold him in contempt, right, lawyers? So more testimony. Makeup artist Mila Morales took the stand. Mila Morales, a makeup artist for Cassie Ventura, mentioned in her testimony, is expected to take the witness stand when court resumes after lunch. Last week, Ventura told the court that Morales stayed behind to nap as she and her friends went to a last-minute party at Prince's home. But Ventura rushed out once she saw Combs, who she didn't speak to before going to the party. According to Ventura, Combs tracked her down and beat her in another room while Morales was in the vicinity. Ventura told the court she then stayed with Morales for a few days as her injuries healed. I just can't even imagine this level of abuse and just years of it happening. Despite the charges and the defense or the prosecution proving their case, just this story is just so sad. Prosecutors accused the defense of prompting sexual stereotypes by handling over topless pictures of Cassie Ventura. Combs' team gave the government pictures that showed when the next witness, the makeup artist Morales, did work for the defendant. Several of those pictures were of a topless Ventura, which drew Comey's ire. That's the AUSA. We don't want the suggestion of sexual stereotypes that if she dressed like this for photo shoots and in public, it is more likely she's consented to sexual activity, Comey told the judge. Judge Submarian also questioned whether any of the topless photos were relevant, and defense lawyer Anna Estavo responded, it shows that she had a full and blossoming career. Did she really, though? If anything, Cassie went from having a hit single to being known more as Diddy's girlfriend than a blossoming career. The judge allowed the defense to use some of the images, but not the topless ones. So it's clear what they're trying to do. Their case right now in the first 2 weeks is to make Cassie not the victim, but just as bad. They're trying to discredit Cassie and her testimony, again, because she's a star witness for the prosecutors. So Morales corroborated some prior testimony from Cassie Ventura, who alleged that Combs beat her in a hotel room after spotting her at an unexpected party at Prince's Los Angeles home. The makeup artist told the court that she stayed behind to take a nap on the couch of Ventura's Beverly Hills hotel room that night and woke up to a commotion later. Morales testified that Ventura came in and went straight to the bedroom with Combs behind her. The couple shut the door to the bedroom, and Morales said that she heard yelling and screaming before Combs left the hotel. She did not witness what occurred between the couple, but said that Ventura had a swollen eye, busted lip, and knots on her head after the incident. Morales testified that Ventura stayed with her for a few days after the incident, and a doctor friend came to check on her, on the singer, who refused to go to the emergency room. The incident left Morales in fear for her life, so she didn't call the police, she said. She and Ventura saw each other a few times after that night, but never acknowledged the incident, she said. Morales, under cross-examination, confirmed that she's done a handful of interviews in recent months as misconduct allegations against Combs surface. She acknowledged speaking on the record to well-known media figures such as Don Lemon and Piers Morgan in 2024 and participating in some documentaries about Combs. The defense sought to paint Morales as an attention seeker, but the efforts seemed to fall flat. Well, there are quite a few people, and this is why them doing these interviews, if they really wanted justice, they really wanted to help someone, you're doing interviews with the wrong people. You should have been interviewing with prosecution as soon as this information came out. So Frederick Zenmore, the hotel manager at the L'Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills, I apologize in advance for my pronunciation, testified that a room would require deep cleaning after Combs stayed there. Zenmore told the court, mind you, he would still have his assistants clean the room after he was done with it, but this hotel manager is saying it would require a deep cleaning. Zenmore told the court that Combs would stay under an alias, Frank Black, Frank White. Notes marked in his hotel profile included that Combs used excessive amounts of oil and spilled candle wax on everything. The room had to be marked out of order for a deep cleaning after Combs left, Zenmore testified. Yeah, I'm surprised that these hotels didn't start banning him. Because some of these hotels are richer than Sean Diddy Combs, and they're like, sir, we don't care. You've been banned. The room had to be marked out of order for deep cleaning after Combs left. Zemmour testified an additional $500 fee was charged for damage. That's it? Combs' defense did not cross-examine the hotel manager. I guess because for them, it's not to prove anything. He was freaky. Whatever. So they also showed photos. The prosecutors admitted photos into evidence today that showed burn damage to Kid Cudi's car, which he said that was caused by a Molotov cocktail in 2012 after Combs learned Cassie was dating Kid Cudi. So they show the photos of the ripped roof and what was happening. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, I'm surprised that the car wasn't in more damage, to be honest with you. The photos, what appears to be burned hole through the top of the convertible roof, as well as the scorch marks on the driver's seat, leather, and door. I just thought the car was completely ruined, but apparently not. Either way, this shouldn't happen, but you get what I'm saying. The weekend comes early for the jurors because it is a holiday weekend. The special agent Joshua Croft, who specializes in computer forensics, left the witness stand and drew a close on testimony for the week. Court will not be in session tomorrow and Monday for the federal observance of Memorial Day, which is a break for me. This feels like I'm back in my corporate job. Lord. When Croft left the witness stand and it was said that there would be no more testimony, Judge jokingly asked the jurors if they had any objections. He's very mindful of the jurors, and I appreciate that. And after a bit of laughter in the courtroom, some Marianian told the jurors to go for a bike ride, watch the Knicks playoff games this weekend. Sidebar, the Knicks lost yesterday, and I heard in a terrible way. Am I shocked? Look, hold on.
Whoa.
Sorry, Knicks fans. I'm a New Yorker. I would love it for the Knicks to win. I guess I just got to root for the girls' team. Let's go, Liberty. So the court resumed on Tuesday, giving jurors an extended holiday weekend with another round of witnesses for the prosecutor. Maureen Comey told the judge that Capricorn Clark, Combs' former assistant, will take the stand next week, as well as unnamed members of the Los Angeles Police Department and Los Angeles Fire Department. Buckle up, guys. Buckle up. I'm glad that we can get an early weekend. We have tomorrow off. So day 10 will begin next Tuesday of the Diddy trial. But this gives you all an opportunity for those that have been very busy. I know you guys have your lives and your jobs. So if you missed it, there's a special playlist here on YouTube where you can hear, watch all of our Diddy coverage over the last 9 days, nine business days of this trial. So be sure to check that out. Guys, as always, don't forget the Kempire After Dark, the villain era, the live tour is coming to Philadelphia on July 10th. Then we're coming to Atlanta on August 5th, then Washington, D.C. on August 22nd, then back here in New York City on Friday, September 12th. There's a live stream option exclusively for that show, and every single show is going to be different. What we talk about in Philly, July 10th, will probably be Diddy because by then we'll know Diddy's verdict. Won't be what we talk about in Atlanta or Washington, D.C. come August. Who knows what we will be talking about? And then who knows what we will be talking about in September? I look forward to meeting and seeing all of you. If you want a night full of fun, laughs, and meeting each other, get your tickets today. More information on the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour, will be available in the description. As always, if you haven't already, be sure to like the video, be sure to share the video, be sure to subscribe, and turn on your notifications because you never know when we will go live. And maybe tomorrow, depending on how things go, we will go live and you guys will be able to call in and share your thoughts on the first 9 days of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. As always, don't forget you can hear all of our updates on this trial and more on the Kempire Podcast. Subscribe to the Kempire Podcast today on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Thank you all for being here. I will see you all in the next one. Thanks so much for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give the Kempire 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And as always, for more information on everything Kempire Radio Network, head on over to KempireRadio.com.